Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello. Yes. Hi from the beautiful studio.
It is. It's nice and warm in here. Happy to be in here.
Yeah. And on NAIDOC week as well.
Yes. It's NAIDOC week already. It's a great week. We've got our beautiful Aboriginal flag up here in the studio. It's
and,
lovely.
Yeah. And earlier on today, they were broadcasting from the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre in Deer Park. So from beyond the bars.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
Yes, so we've got another fun-packed show for you tonight.
Yes.
And, but first of all, we are just totally grovelingly grateful to the people who have helped us, because Breadline has actually reached its target for raising money for the Radiothon.
Yeah, we did it.
Hooray.
Hooray. Thank you to everyone who donated. We appreciate you so much.
And it was so exciting to hear that we've actually hit our deadline. But of course, if anyone out there goes, "Oh, I didn't donate," they're also welcome to donate to Breadline or any other show on 3CR.
Absolutely, you can go to 3cr.org.au and sponsor a show, sponsor Breadline even.
Yeah,
I know I sponsored some of my favorite shows. And yeah, it all helps keep the station running.
Yes, so. One of the things that is happening this week that we're very excited about in the Australian Unemployed Workers Union is we're starting to train for the advocacy line.
That's
so
right.
Our advocacy line has been paused because of lack of volunteers, but also the fact that we have to keep up with the latest. So we're going to start that again this week. So if anyone out there in Radio Land would like to either become up, you know, au fait with the latest regulations, social security law, etc., for either helping us out on the advocacy line or just passing that information on to their friends and networks.
Yeah.
You're very welcome. It's just going to be an hour and a half on Saturday evening. I'm not going to impinge on people's, you know, going out time. So it's at 5:30 Eastern time. So yes, so we definitely would love it if we could get a few more people, and then we'll be able to get the advocacy line up and running. It's running so that if you do have any queries, you can just contact advocacy@awu.org.au, and then any questions you have can be put via emails. But I think that, as Daryl often mentions, there's nothing like a sort of actual chance to talk about what you're going through with another human being.
Absolutely. And that's what the AUW advocacy line is for, is you actually speak to welfare recipients and volunteers that have your best interests at heart, instead of talking to someone in the welfare social security system working. This is, of course, Breadline is presented by the AUW, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We're both AUW members here, me, Caitlin and Jessica. I said that like there's three of us, me, Caitlin, you, Jessica.
Yes, that's right. There are just two of us in the studio.
But so many behind us working in the behind
that's
the
right.
scenes.
And it is lots of fun to come in from Wonthaggi and see 3CR buzzing hive of activity.
Yeah.
And, to see all the great things that are happening from here.
And I come all the way across the city.
Oh, yes.
It's like a different world over here in Fitzroy.
Yeah. So one of the topics we're going to be talking about today is the targeted compliance framework.
Yeah, boo.
Boo. And again, it's another acronym, TCF. But it's quite interesting. There's a Crikey article that I've been reading intently. It's from the 12th of June, which is nearly a month ago, by a journo called Ben Eltham. But what he's really outlined in the article is the serious problems that the whole system's in. I mean, from our point of view, we know, because we hear on Breadline and through our other networks what people are going through with, you know, the visits at home to try and get hold of pay slips and the needless suspensions. And as I mentioned last week on the show, the guy I met at the summit who, purely for just questioning his job plan, his job centre person just folded up the paperwork and just put it away, looked into space, and then he found that his payments were suspended.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So this is the kind of thing can just happen on a whim.
Yeah.
So
it's something we talk a lot about on Breadline here. You know, we are welfare recipients and we know how punitive the system is. So we're always talking about how unfairly punitive Centrelink and the whole system is set up to be, really.
Yeah. Well, basically the sort of problems they're in, the Commonwealth Ombudsman or Ombudsperson, Ian Anderson, not a musician, someone else called Ian Anderson, first of all was looking into a review in February 2025. So instead of actually it being a token review put away and forgotten about, he's actually expanded his review. So it shows that he thinks there's something to look into.
Right.
And what this article outlines is that by 2023, it was clear that the IT systems were wrongly applying penalties, cancelling benefits, and so on, the sort of things we talk about. So that even their own systems aren't working properly, or you could say they are working because they're there to punish. So in July last year, the Department of Secretary paused cancellations due to these mutual obligation failures.
That's right.
Now, this is unusual, this pausing business.
Yeah.
And I can talk about a bit more about that in a minute. Then in September, which is only, again, 2 months later, it was paused again.
I believe we covered it on the show back
then.
We
did. Yeah. Yes, that's right. And it sort of took people a little bit by surprise. I mean, we used to a quite fair thing of people having their obligations paused if there's some kind of climate disaster happening in their area, or, of course, as we know, during COVID. But these sort of pauses really are a new thing. And then this article goes into a lot more detail where the head of the Department of Social Security, Michael Lai, called into question the lawfulness of the whole program. So,
yeah, it's super interesting. And we're going to get to that. We're also going to be talking about later in the show. So we're going to talk about renting on welfare. So some of the barriers that welfare recipients face in housing. But all of that's coming up on the show. And you're here with Caitlin and Jessica on Breadline on 3CR.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM or 3cr.org.au if you're listening live online. My name's Caitlin. I'm here with my co-host Jessica, and this is Breadline.
Yay.
And this is
the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union.
Absolutely. We are all welfare recipients here, and we talk about, welfare, basically.
Yes.
Living in so-called Australia on the social security system.
That's right.
And before the song, we were talking about targeted compliance framework, which is a horrifying long name for a horrifying thing. And we've been talking about mutual obligations as well.
Yes. And I think a lot of people who aren't aware of how bad the system is, think of these little offices that pop up in many of the rural towns in Gippsland, but certainly all through the city as well, as somehow helping people. They just have a vague, they're helping people idea, but they don't realise, again, how punitive this helping is.
And the offices are these the job service providers?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They pop up.
They're quite predatory, really.
Yes. So before the break, we're talking about basically how some of the bureaucrats inside the system are calling into question the lawfulness of key social security programs. And this is written up in a great article in Crikey. So there's the case of the, which is in the federal court right now, Matthew Chaplin versus the Secretary of the Department of Social Services, and it follows on from RoboDebt, which it may actually lead, if the department loses, they could be liable for millions of dollars of repayments to welfare recipients who've been wrongfully denied payments. And this is not robo-debt we're talking about. We're talking about all the people whose payments have just been suddenly suspended. Pause. Yes, unless there's been a pause on. So it's,
you mentioned earlier in the show that there have been lots of sort of more pauses happening, but not because of a cyclone or COVID. It's more like maybe these are hints that they're finding problems in the system.
And they're saying they actually are blaming the IT systems, which are supposedly not operating in alignment with laws and policies. And so that's a sort of handy get out, really, to say it's the IT system, was when really there's no oversight and there's no real understanding from the bureaucrats about what the job centres are actually doing to people.
Yeah.
So they're saying it has become clear that decisions regarding compliance may not have been validly made. Another quite sort of like vague statement, but, you know, so enough to send warnings out.
I mean, some of the types of compliance decisions made is to cut someone's job seeker payment because they were in hospital and didn't attend a meeting or something like that.
That's right. Yes.
So these job service providers have a lot of power over someone's life.
Exactly. And we talked in previous Breadlines about the woman who was in hospital and was still had to rush basically from a hospital bed into a job centre for her appointment in fear of losing her payments.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just wild.
Now, there are three separate reviews, but despite all this, the targeted compliance framework continues.
Yeah.
But the other just interesting stat before I finish is that only 90% of the suspensions which are handed out by the job centres actually result in people losing their payments, because as soon as you've got a suspension, you get straight onto it and try and get a review, try and get advice and so on.
Right.
So, and the other thing I found out during a little bit of research was that both the government agencies, Services Australia and Workfare Australia, have both got now sections on their website about the pauses. So I think they're anticipating more, possibly.
Oh, so, you know, we're sensing rumblings.
Yes,
in the social security system.
Yes.
That's so interesting. Well, we'll definitely keep covering it here on Breadline. Every Monday from 6 to 6:30, we're here on 3CR 855 AM. And we'd like to chat about renting and housing on welfare, because it affects probably all of us, most of us, I would say. Well, we all have housing, ideally. Not everybody, unfortunately. But there are sort of some unique barriers that you can face when you're living on welfare.
Yeah. I just recently saw the Mission Australia stats, and it's only 6% of homeless people are actually sleeping rough and sort of visibly homeless. So I think that that's quite an interesting one, because certainly in my town, those are the people who get the sort of concern, but also, you know, that they get turned into a cliche, whereas all the people who are just putting up, or we run a renter's rights session once a month in Wonthaggi, and the people who come in with their rents doubling, for example.
Yeah, and people having to couch surf. I was just the other week talking to some tenants down in St Kilda who were being turfed out of their building, but their slumlord was selling the building and kicked them all out. And, they were just being turned out into homelessness, basically, because of a sale, and a building being sold to the state government to be turned into temporary accommodation was actually creating homelessness. Oh,
that's incredible.
And I was talking to a woman who was now going to have to be couch surfing for the foreseeable future. And another man, a disabled man, was actually going to be sleeping on the street. I was doing this through my work as a member of RAHU, the Renters and Housing Union. We're trying to get on top of these issues, but it's such a common issue, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there are so many people in housing stress. I myself am in housing stress. I mean, I'm on the disability support pension. You simply cannot afford rent on that. You cannot be. So I think if you spend more than 30% of your income on housing, you're in housing stress.
Absolutely.
I probably spend like 53%. I'm there.
Funnily enough, the Salvos regard it as a fair stat for you to spend half of your pay on so that's pretty sobering.
The Salvos, they have their own. They're we've decided.
Yeah. What it is. Well, that's their advice. I recently went to the Salvos with a friend who's desperately looking for housing. So he's the same situation as people you've met. He's being made homeless, as with 11 other people in this sort of caravan park type scenario. And two of the people have already left because of the stress. And they've ended up in aged care, which is just incredibly sad, because rather than having a community at the caravan park, they've now just, they're just individually in little rooms.
Oh, that's, it's so heartbreaking. It's, I think it's top of mind, especially now it's winter here in North Melbourne and it's very cold and I'm seeing people sleeping rough. And, you know, but even if you're not sleeping rough, which is, you know, sleeping on the street outdoors, basically you're out in the elements, even if you're couch surfing or you're in temporary accommodation, the stress of not knowing where you're going to be sleeping in a, you know, tomorrow, in a week.
Yeah.
It all, it keeps you in crisis mode and it keeps you exhausted.
And my friend as well, even though he knows he's got 4 months, he's still on this roller coaster because he keeps falling in love with properties and then they've gone. By the time they're advertised on a real estate website, they're gone.
Yeah.
And he just keeps falling in love with places and it's just,
I think the key thing for me is that even if you're housed, you never really feel like you get to have a home because you don't know how long, you don't want to get attached. And it's, I've been, you know, renting in share housing since I was 17 and I'm 39 now. And I don't think I've ever had like a home since childhood. And it's, you don't really get, and there's no future ahead for me. There's no like, oh, if I just get through the next year, then things will get better. It's like, there's no sign things will get better.
No.
No one's raising the DSP. No one's making housing cheaper.
Or getting rid of negative gearing and all that, which is one of the big things that's sort of driving it all. Yeah. Or building, undertaking a huge mass public housing building program, which would actually give people jobs. And instead, they just update their websites so everything looks rosy. And that's what has enraged us in Wonthaggi anyway, the fact that we know that there are these empty spaces and they're due to have community housing, but nothing's happening on them.
Well, everything, there's lots of great news from us this evening. Oh, as always, it's just cheerful hour. It's a cheerful half hour.
Haven't you got a workshop coming up with Rahu?
We do, actually. So tomorrow night, Rahu, the Renters and Housing Union, is running an event called Rahu 101, where it's basically an introduction to the union, the history of the union, and how it works. So that's going to be 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, which is Tuesday night, at the Victoria Trades Hall in St. Kilda. And it's also going to be online on over Teams. So, and, you know, if you can attend from home, which will be great.
So that's the Trades Hall just at the top of the city?
Actually, I might have got that wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Vic Trades Hall? Yeah. Sorry, why did I say St. Kilda? That was wrong?
You were thinking of the other instance.
I was thinking of the other.
So that's Trades Hall in the centre of town, not that far from the State Library.
That's right. And the in-person event is very restricted in places, so you've got to register. Register, but also they're going to be providing masks and air filters at the in-person event.
So good.
Which is great. You can get... We're wearing masks and running a filter right now, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to get COVID or winter flu or anything else floating around. But you can get more info on Rahu 101, the event tomorrow night at rahu.org.au.
Yay, excellent work.
So you are listening to Breadline on 3CR with Caitlin and Jessica. And we've been talking about what it's like to live on welfare. So fun.
Yes. But at least, we can see, I suppose, the whole picture rather than, you know, the day-to-day miserableness. Yeah.
Absolutely. It is good to get together, chat about get out of your day-to-day and actually see the broader systems that are at work on you and the patterns and then
and
gather together and work on it.
Yay. As we mentioned earlier in the show, if you have any problems with social security, job centres, etc., get onto advocacy@auwu.org.au and you'll be getting an email back from one of us.
That's right. And you can look into becoming a volunteer yourself, or if you want to get advice, same email address. If you are listening to Breadline, the welfare show on 3CR, .org.au, 8:55 a.m. on your dial. This is Caitlin and Jessica saying thanks for listening on this cold, kind of cold, wintry afternoon. And Thank you for listening to Breadline.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.